Either collect call, hang up or hang on.
Still dogging all of these bitches. Pulling up in these fours, get a call from one of my niggas. Will I pick up or ignore? Even though I'm busy grinding, I take time to say what's up. Update you on how these streets looking to lift your spirits up. Me, I'm out here balling, grinding, stacking, shining, sent pictures of naked bitches, pussy busting from behind them. We got Benzes, Beamers, Cubans, Rollies, Diamonds, got paid while you was here. Since you been gone, we still been climbing. I'm in luxury all the time. Presidential my tent, presidential my time. And it's evident I'm the shit. Residence I reside in, cost you a couple cents. Two commas, six O's beside it. Fly shit, always stay up on my shit. Got no time to write you, so this rap is out of time spent. We build bridges, when you get out, you gon' drive in. So do your time until your time in.
When you receive a collect call, will you have
Yo, what's going on? It's the homie Mez. You tuned in to Mez Drinks and Chill. Got the homie Pone in the El Capone, but we got to hang that up, right?
Yeah, you know, formerly known as, but for today we'll use that.
What's going on, man? Welcome home.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Thank you.
That song that you just heard right there, that was David Cash featuring Nipsey Hussle, and it's called Collect Call.
Yeah, that's my joint right there. I rocks with that joint.
Facts, man. Welcome home, man. We glad to have you back, man. How long you were gone?
I was going 8.5.
That shit seemed like forever, man.
Yeah, 8.5, pushing 9.
Crazy thing is, it felt like forever, but when you came back, it felt like you hadn't left.
Yeah, well, it tends to do that when,
yeah,
you know, you're not the one standing up for count time. Yeah, it tends to be that way for the people who was out here chilling. But at the same time, it did go fast. It did go fast, yeah. I stay busy. That's the secret.
Right.
Just stay busy. Stay reading. Stay busy. Your mind, really, in actuality, you get trapped in your mind.
Yeah.
Your physical is just gonna be what it's gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's your mind that plays tricks on you. It's your mind that thinks about your family.
Yeah.
Your body don't think about what it's missing.
Right.
And you know, sexually even tends to be the mental thought.
Right.
Because your body can just be whatever, but
yeah.
Then so I kept my mind occupied. That's
eight
how
and
I got
a half
through.
Years fed time, right?
Fed time, yeah. Whew. Fed time.
So take all right, so let's go back, right?
Mm-hmm.
The day you got locked up, right?
Right.
Explain to us how that happens. Like, is it something that you felt was coming? Did you know you were hot? Did you know that they were coming? Like, how does that explain that day?
Well, I did. Okay, so I'm gonna explain the day. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna explain the moments leading up to that day.
Perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
So prior to, I knew someone that I was kicking it with.
Right.
And he gets in trouble. Mm-hmm. I knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So initially, I'm the person that says, well, I'm not going to turn my back on the person. So I put up bond money for the person.
Mm.
They get out. Everything is cool. It's a state charge at that time.
Yeah.
Well, I know state law. So I knew if there wasn't a buy and bust, for the most part, I ain't had nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
So at that point, it was just like, well, I'm just not going to deal with dude, but I'm going to be there if he needed me to be there. You know, because I also know how that feels for someone not to be there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the more time went by, he felt like, you know, he didn't want to do the 6 years that he was facing.
Mm.
So he decided to, you know, inform on some people, me being one of those people. Well, with that being said, after we spoke a time or two, his conversation got real reckless. So yeah. I assumed that maybe something.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was like, well, if I just don't deal with him, then maybe,
yeah.
Or just... I just don't even broker in that realm of things that
right.
maybe I can just dodge
right.
it all.
Yeah.
So after that was that aspect of it. But prior to that, I had already been getting feelings about, you know, something was going to happen to me. And the way I was living prior, I thought maybe, you know, it was the Green Reaper coming for me.
Yeah. Oh, death. You thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Death
so,
was around the corner.
I'm thinking death was definitely around the corner.
So it's like an eerie feeling you getting?
Yeah. At the time, it's just like, you know, you get a sense of paranoia. You can't sleep. So at that time, you know,
I
spent a lot of money on camera systems. A lot of people didn't know, but I bulletproofed my cars.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a lot that I was spending my money on, and people.
You were switching up cars too.
Yeah, all the time, because for a lot of different reasons, but definitely for that reason. So there was a lot of. There was a lot of things.
I just thought about that time. You, I don't know if you remember when you got the... We could talk about the car.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so the Camaro, you popped up when Camaros was just popping.
Yeah.
The new Camaro. He was like, get in. We get in. This nigga start doing...
Yeah, I remember. We raced somebody that night.
Yeah, he was wilding with the whip. I can't remember who it was.
It was somebody in the dunk. I know exactly who it was. We raced him. We was on South Boulevard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hit all type of corners. I'm like, yo, this nigga is wilding right now. Like, when'd you get this whip?
Yeah, so I had the whip for a little minute, but I did modifications to the engine.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to bring it out, but I was like, you know, at the time, I was feeling the way I was feeling.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to live once. Do what I do, and then I did what I did. And coincidentally, I thought maybe I was being, I may be being followed. You know, the car was distinctive. I don't do rims often because it's too distinctive. So, but coincidentally, that car was, they put a tracker on that car.
Mm.
But luckily, where I parked it,
that's
just where I parked it.
Right.
So I would park it there and switch cars, then switch again, and then switch again.
Right.
So for real, it was like they couldn't really find me. And that was one of the things that they was agitated with about me. They just couldn't. So their case was merely built on testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
And so to say the least, that's how I was feeling.
Yeah.
I felt the feeling, but I felt like death was around the corner.
So then what happens that day? Like, how did they get you?
So that day, I come from out of town, and I come from out of town that night. So that morning, you know, of course I'm in the stage of not being able to sleep, things like that.
Right.
So I'm a family man, so what I do is I do the family thing with the kids in school.
Yeah.
But that particular morning, I was tired.
Right.
So, you know, my people took the kids to school. Well, she gets a call.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, excuse me. I get a call that says, hey, there's a situation at the house. You know, she's letting me know what's going on. So with that being said, I panicked. Prior to that, I'm thinking, I see the tail at several different times.
Yeah.
I see the tail. So I'm thinking the tail is maybe some dudes or maybe something, or this is death calling.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm prepared for that.
Right.
So in that moment, I react in a way that I would react if it was some regular people.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
So in that moment, I realized it wasn't regular people, it was the law enforcement. So that reaction though, we could talk about that later, but that reaction actually ended up getting me 5 extra years.
Oh, you really?
Because of the way I was prepared.
Right.
For action at that moment. So,
because you were just preparing, thinking it was some street shit, not the law.
So I came out, when I came out my front door, it was...
ready for whatever.
It was, but then it was... So a lot of people don't know, but it's different people that have to come.
Yeah.
And everybody was there. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
yeah.
There was a lot of people there.
Yeah. I get you.
You know?
Yeah. So if you see everybody there, that means you pretty much at that point just give in, because that would be the smartest thing to do, right?
I'm glad you asked that. So what a lot of people don't know is a lot of people are not that familiar with my past. However, the law enforcement is.
Yeah, of course. They know everything about you when they're coming to get you.
So they use leverage.
Mm.
They use, you know, they use my family as leverage.
Yeah.
To apprehend them, and then after the fact, make sure that if I react a certain way, then that they may, they may suffer from that as well. Exactly. However, I was definitely prepared, and they knew it. And when I opened the door to come out, and I noticed it was them, I did surrender because you know.
Yeah, they played their hand. They played their hand smart. Well,
yeah. It was only two things I could do. First of all, that circumstance don't scare me.
Right.
You know, going to, and I say that lightly, it just didn't scare me because I almost felt relieved that it wasn't death.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That makes sense?
No, that makes 100% sense.
So I would never take my own life.
Right.
So therefore, I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and surrender because
yeah.
I didn't want them to take my life in that moment. I was like, oh, shit, this is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
So then, do you mind talking about what you got charged with?
So, yeah. So, I got charged with, it's an 841 and 846. And what that is, it's conspiring, right? So, you have the conspiring charge.
Which is the fucking worst charge ever.
Exactly. And then you have the possession charge, technically. But it's conspiring to possess cocaine.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, they did not.
But they didn't find you with nothing.
No, they did not. I didn't have anything
right
remotely anything. Like, that's just not how it goes.
Which is why the conspiracy charge is always thrown in there. It's like, it just, you can't do nothing about that.
Yeah, nah. So they came in. I mean, they tore the house up.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. And, you know, they didn't come up with anything. That's not how I move.
Yeah.
And, but what they did do was they froze my assets, any Ooh. Bank accounts.
Sheesh.
You know, they was any known associates as far as like family, whatever houses I would frequent.
Yeah.
You know, they made sure that they did a little clean sweep of those as well. So it was
they combed through everything pretty much.
Yeah, it was a drawn out thing. They investigated me for 18 months. However, I say that to so people will understand. The investigation wasn't extensive to the point where I didn't never put anyone else
right
in the mix because they were only investigating me in this city.
Yeah.
So I didn't really do much in the city.
Yeah.
Other than party here and there and family right. stuff. So
yeah.
It was like, okay, you know, that was no problem.
Yeah.
For anyone else at that time.
Right.
It was just basically, they didn't really come up with much. So they had to end their investigation eventually because they just wasn't going anywhere.
So now did you take it to trial or did you cop a plea? How does that go?
So I did not go to trial. I was actually pushing trial at first.
Yeah.
It was a tactic of mine.
What were you facing? Like,
I was facing, so initially it would have been money laundering.
Mm-hmm.
The conspiring charge, mm-hmm. along with the possession, those are charges that normally run together.
Right.
Which was 10 years. The money laundering was up to 5 years. And then those two charges was looming over my head. And then, going back to what I told you.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the artillery was concerned, they were satisfied with what they had, the artillery and things like that, was like later. So we'll talk about that later.
Right.
So with those two charges, that was pretty much a 15-year sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept pressing trial. I wanted to break the charges up and try them separately. So they ended up allowing me to do so, which I needed to get that money laundering off because I actually paid taxes on all the money that they found or that they seized.
Right.
So I did not win that. However, they just agreed to, if you forfeit this, then we'll drop that. So then it ended up with just the drug charge.
The conspiracy.
And the conspiracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right. Now that's a 10-year charge,
mm-hmm.
and it's 10 to life
yeah.
for the amount. So how it works is...
If you take it to trial.
No, it's 10 to life.
Regardless?
Okay, so give you a quick little break. If it's 5 kilos or more
uh-huh.
that you've conspired to sell,
right?
So it's between 5 kilos and 15 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, they're saying, oh, well, you conspired to do this, because if they can't find nothing, they at least get the informant to say that you did at least that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But right. at the same time, the informant don't want to make themselves look so
bigger. Yeah.
So they like, well. but they find a way to coerce that. So yeah. Now, because if you're not really getting tender life, it's not really, they're like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're trying to give you, the tender life. Yeah. That's normal, and then they enhance you from there.
Yeah.
So anything under 5 is normally 5 to 40.
Mm.
You know?
Right.
And then they have, so, but now the mandatory minimum normally kicks in at that 10 to life. Well, you can get 5 mandatory.
Yeah.
However, that 5 to 15, that's that 10 to life.
Yeah.
It gives them so much leverage.
These numbers you're talking about are years for people who aren't too familiar with this stuff. Because we're talking as if it's just me and you, but yeah.
Exactly.
So you got to be a little more specific because not everybody is aware of that's
right.
what you're saying.
That's right. So with that being said, they use that. You have to understand, if you're not familiar with how the process goes,
yeah,
all you hear is life. Even though they say 10 years, all you hear is life. But 10 years is just the starting point. If you hear 5 to 40, the starting point is 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's just so much better to be in the 5 to 40 range. Because based on your charge, you get sentenced based on your charge. There's a scale involved.
Right.
With the 10 years, it starts there. So it's like, damn, you starting a decade.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? What you do 8.5 off that decade.
Right.
Now for me.
Because feds is 85% of your time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for me, I decided to, I told them I was going to go to trial because if you force trial, you get to ask for information that you wouldn't get.
So you were playing chess, basically.
I was playing chess. So, but the tricky part is they tell you, well, we're only going to give you the information 2 weeks before your trial.
Ooh,
in order to counter, that's their counterplay.
Right.
So there was always in chess, you have to think 5 moves ahead, right?
Right.
Some people think further, but me, at least 5. Well, with that being said, I got the information I needed.
Yeah.
And I found that there were more potential informants that even if they just knew me, that was enough.
Hell yeah.
And they was going to. So there's corroborating evidence that has to take place. However,
if they could just,
I was
going
to lose technically if I went to trial.
Yeah.
And once I figured that out, I said, well, look, I'm going to enter a plea of guilty. So I didn't take a plea bargain. I entered a plea of guilty.
All right. And that's a big difference that people don't understand.
Yes. So if you want to get into that later, feel free.
Yeah. All right.
So once I did that, there we were. We were on our way to doing 10 years. But then I'm relaxing. I'm like, okay, my lawyer tells me, okay, they accepted that. All right, I'm cool. I get the letter back. I sign it. Boom. So I'm chilling in my room one day. I get another letter.
Yeah.
It's a superseding indictment that says, oh, by the way, since you said you're guilty, you know, because keep in mind, it's what you say.
Yeah.
Oh, if you enter that plea of guilt.
So now they could charge you other things based on that guilt,
on that plea of guilt.
That's fucked up.
And that's what they did to me. They came back and said, oh, well
since
you're guilty if you're guilty from this date to this date, because that's what's on the initial indictment.
Right.
Was dates. So you have to be guilty of the charge in between those dates.
Yeah. So then they can charge you with a bunch of other things based on that guilt.
In between those dates.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is what I initially.
That's insane.
So when I signed, though, I signed for known and unknown, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know what that is, but that's saying, hey, I'm guilty, but if I say I'm guilty of this, then I'm guilty of my partake in anything that y'all know.
Yeah.
Right? Any unknown or known, so nothing can come up later as far as drugs was concerned.
Yeah.
Well, not as far as firearms.
Yeah, because
so they ended up superseding me and giving me a mandatory minimum for firearms as well. And this was basically because that's their leverage.
Right.
So 5 extra years normally spooks people for the most part, you know, not everyone, but that's their tactic. Because when you're comfortable with 10, and thinking 8.5 plus, you have programs that can get you out early.
Yeah, and then
you start calculating your time. Yeah, and then they tack on some more time. Normally, that's their tactic, and that's what they did. That also came along with, oh, do you want to you know, we can help get this off of you. Yeah. And I'm like, nah, it's just not worth it to me personally. I don't want to play macho with y'all. It's just not worth it. So we kind of went down that.
What you mean as far road. As asking you to basically inform or get into information up?
Yeah, because that's how they do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? They like, so my lawyer's like, oh,
that's that pressure that makes a lot of people burst. They'd be exactly. like, hold up, man, I can't sit here and do 20 years, 15 years. And then they offer you some ways, if you can offer some information, then they help you out on
exactly.
some time.
Exactly.
And so, you weren't interested in that.
No, I wasn't interested in that. Yeah, not at all. Not at all. And you know, unfortunately, what took place at that time was there was a lot of people that I bumped into that I knew from the street.
Yeah.
So I'm going to touch on this for a quick second. In that moment, there were people that I found out later that they were being sent to my pod to get information.
While you were in there?
While I was in there. So,
and you know, the crazy thing is, I remember, you know, the first time, anytime somebody gets locked up in the outside world, the first thing they could say is, oh, he's telling, or he's snitching. Yeah. You remember the phone call you gave me one day?
Yes, I do.
Hey, yo,
and I was
livid. I heard a thing or two, but I was like, nah, there's no way. There's no fucking living. Way. But and, every nigga who get locked up, that's the first thing they be like, yo, you think he's telling? That talk always comes up.
That's automatic.
I remember you calling and you're like, yo, you went off.
Yeah, because I was livid because of what? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, when you're going through it and you know what you know, and then you take it, and then people don't credit you for taking it brings forth a lot of resentment and anger. But it wasn't enough for me to turn around and say, and put anyone else in my place.
Yeah.
You know, no one fell behind me.
Yeah.
No, not because of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So everybody I knew, everybody I dealt with, all my OGs, big homies, and everybody else was good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But the people who know, you never, that never crossed their mind. You know what I'm saying? But it just wanted to, so that's why when I heard it, I would just brush it off. Like, there's no way. It's not possible.
Yeah, it was definitely something to deal with. And
but that's a normal thing though. Like that's the first thing that pops up when niggas hear somebody standing tall or they, and then the thing is, you know, a lot of the fucking, I remember when we had a conversation, you were saying like, nothing comes to you as a surprise because you know what you're up against.
Yeah.
You don't blindly go into stuff and be like, well, I didn't know that's what I was happening or what I was facing. Like, you knew everything you were up against.
I knew exactly. Because what I encourage people to do real quick, I'm going to close what I was going to say. Right. So when they were sending people at me, what it did was I closed off. And I just told people that, I kind of downplayed my charges.
Right.
So they knew, but as long as I didn't glorify it first and foremost. That right there was the first and foremost. I didn't glorify it. Some people glorified it, and that's what ends up people getting banged by other people, because in the process of glorifying something, you have to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I didn't glorify it. So I was telling people, oh, this is nothing. This ain't about nothing.
So the best thing to do is keep your fucking mouth shut. And that's to the law, to your friends. To your inmates, like to yourself, everybody, right?
Yeah, that's the best thing. So when I did that, the people that knew, that was coming at me, that knew what I was facing, kind of got it out there that, oh, he's saying that he's only doing this.
Yeah.
So what it did was it created a contradiction to the facts.
Exactly.
However, that was by design.
Right.
Right? But it kind of backfired as far as for the streets, because now if the streets is hearing that I'm not being forthcoming about my charges, then it's an assumption that maybe I got other plans.
And
however,
was it
that was
indictment.
Yeah,
was
it was the indictment was sealed because there was an informant on informed on other people.
But
as
people think it's you that's sealing it in the streets. You know what I'm saying? So they're like, why would he seal an indictment? But it's like, nigga, how do you know he's the one doing that?
Yeah, definitely.
So the first thing people think is a sealed indictment. He might be telling. It's like, bro, you don't even know what's going on.
So what happens is, for people who don't know, when the indictment is sealed from the government.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
you.
The district attorney has to seal the indictment. Yeah. The U.S. district attorney.
Yeah.
So it's to protect the information of the informants. But if the indictment is against me, then it comes sealed. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
For me, I have to unseal it, and that was my chest. To unseal it, to uncover who may have been, which I had an assumption.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see who was actually
informed.
So
you're very well informed of everything that's going on.
Yes, and I credit that to my lawyers.
Yeah,
you know, in the feds, the lawyers is not like the state where you can just say pay a lawyer and then make it go away. So a lot of people feel like it's a waste of money. For me, I pay for information. I believe information is more powerful. Yeah. There's three things that you can't live without, and that's water, and that's air, and that's information.
Yeah.
So the two is technically a given.
Yeah.
So information, I would pay for that. That's to me, it's priceless.
Right.
So for those out there who feel like paying a lawyer, going through the feds is not worth it, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
However, when I paid for my lawyer, it was strictly to obtain information for my personal reasons, in case I didn't get my mind right and change. You get what I'm saying?
Because, yeah.
You know, maybe vengeance would have,
right?
You know, and I wanted to have that information just for future reference, just in case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I changed.
Yeah, of course.
To say the least.
Because you say you dropped your moniker, your old name that you used to go by, because everybody know you as
Capone. Yeah. So I dropped it.
Because that's the first thing you text me when you came home.
Yes. I wanted people to understand that in order to change, you really have to change the
everything, people,
the places, the things. And then if you're holding on to a namesake, things like that.
Yeah.
I just go by my initials and my government.
Yeah.
See, I'm not afraid of my government. I've never been. Prior to, maybe because I was afraid of the indictments.
That makes sense, though. Why, when you're doing stuff, you don't want people to know your information.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But
now it's out there. Hey, it's public information.
Yeah. But a lot of people wouldn't want their government out, because then when people Google them or whatever, then they can find out some fuck shit that they did.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why they wouldn't want their name out there.
So for me, I'm like, listen, man, I keep it all public.
Right.
Going back to what you asked about earlier.
Yeah.
About indictments and seal. Mm-hmm. It's all public information.
Right.
You can make it not public, you know, if you choose to.
Mm-hmm.
There's tricks and trades of doing that. But for me, I didn't want to hide anything.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be able to say, well, if you're talking about, I wanted to be able to debunk the people who was just talking out the side of their ass. Get what I'm saying?
That's what you were screaming. I never seen you go off like, he's like, yo, niggas talking about this. I was like, yo, point, it doesn't even matter, bro. Like,
people, it hurts, though.
I know, I feel it.
It hurts.
But that's why that time when you was barking like that, I'm just listening to you, because I'm like, how could I tell this man anything when he's in there?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's hearing fuck shit. Niggas putting smut on your name. But then it's just like, but that's some shit that niggas just say automatically when they don't understand what's going on.
Unfortunately, when I dug deep,
because,
you know, I dug deep and unfortunately, I take everything to heart. Yeah. So if that does come about and you say something, then I'm going to try to find out where it came from. So I found out as much information as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And majority of the people who had something to say ended up being informants. So what I did not want to do was, I didn't want to put anybody out there, first of all, because you put people in jeopardy in so many different ways, depending on who they're dealing with. There's nothing soft about this in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you may have some soft players, but there may be some other players who aren't. So people really lose their lives over shit like that.
Yeah,
so
you've never chose said not any to, names to me ever. Like, not to this day, you've never said not one name to me.
And that was also by design, because it's irrelevant. But if that gets out there and then, you know, something happens to that person, then, you know, the same way I could track down where information came from is the same way other people may too.
Right.
So I'd rather not go down that path. I took it, I harbored that, and I moved forward. And later, you know, we could touch on harboring, you know, what happens when you harbor those type of feelings.
So there is misconceptions of snitching being documented, because people assume that if you snitch, because that's the first thing, where's the paperwork? But it's possible for you to do some type of telling without it being in black and white, right?
Yes. So
is there any examples you give of that? Not personal examples, just in general. Like, what's a way somebody can tell without it being documented?
All right. So let me touch on some things. So I was what they consider a jailhouse lawyer at one time, because I was fighting hard to get the superseded indictment off.
Mm-hmm.
But in that process, I learned so much, and then I helped other people in the process get off their cases. And that taught me some things, right? So looking at other cases, now people trusted me because I didn't expose anyone.
Right.
So I got to see what people actually did, and I didn't expose them. Now, that's taboo because I don't care for people who inform on other people.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'm going to get a little flack for that.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was charging $300. You know, I needed it.
Hell yeah.
You
yeah.
get what I mean? Yeah. So, it wasn't, I had to kind of just make it about business.
Yeah.
So, to say the least, I learned that it don't have to be publicized.
Right.
Because you have different levels of snitching.
Mm-hmm.
So you have where you can just like what we call drop a dime.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can drop a dime, you can agree to say, hey, well, if I'm gonna drop a dime on somebody, mm-hmm. what would you give me? You know, how can we
yeah.
but there's a problem with that within the feds because the feds want to get you for a mandatory minimum
mm-hmm.
most of the time
yeah,
of 10 years. And you can't get under that mandatory minimum unless you inform. However, there's a level of informing that...
Like the 5K one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that level of informing uh-huh. can get you under the guideline.
Mm.
Okay?
So you're saying like if you've committed a crime and then you turn basically 5K one... That's when you get it under?
Now, you use that vehicle to okay. get it under.
Okay.
But if you just dropping a dime, that's not enough to get you under the file. Under
like
10 years.
A dime? Like, let's just say I'm a local smoker or some shit, right? Like, let's just say I'm a smoker, crackhead, meth head, whatever. And you catch me coming out of a trap house. And, you know, they bump you up and be like, yo, what did you just buy from them? And it's like, they might catch work on you, right? But as a user.
Mm-hmm.
They can technically tell on whatever's going on in that trap house, right?
Yeah, that would be dropping a dime.
Yeah.
Like, yo, there's such and such. Well, if it's a federal investigation on the trap house,
yeah.
it's probably not going to go like that.
Right.
But if it's a local,
yeah, I'm just, yeah,
you know, anything, then yeah. they'll say, oh, well, that's what's going on in there.
Right.
But what they'll do is they'll ask the smoker to go back and buy.
Mm.
Okay, so that changes the trajectory of everything.
Yeah.
But for sake of conversation, if I say... Well, I know what's going on over there. Then they start an investigation. And a year later, something happens over there.
Mm-hmm.
Then unless I use the vehicle of 5K1 or going in front of a grand jury, then all I did was gain good graces from them.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, right.
So if you're facing 10 years, the good graces don't really matter. But if you're facing 3 years
yeah.
where they can get, where they can work out something without going yeah. under a mandatory minimum,
right?
Then they're like, oh, okay, you gave us some information. We'll consider that. We'll just give you 2 years instead yeah. of three. Well, I see that's different.
Right.
In my case, cases that you have to do 10 years or better,
mm-hmm.
which translates to 8.5 years, the only way to come, one of the only ways to come underneath the 10 years is to use the vehicle of 5K1. And that means you have to go in front of a grand jury. And somebody has to be in, you know, guilty of whatever it is, you know, that you said. In most cases,
yeah,
people are taking pleas. So a lot of times, people don't get exposed. And this is another thing.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Question. That's crazy. So if you just take the plea, you don't expose the person? Like, the person is basically not exposed to that?
Yeah, because
it didn't go to trial.
It didn't go to trial. They would have to come on the stand if you go to trial. So if you take the plea, they never have to go. So that's also a misconception.
Yeah.
Because it's secret.
Right.
Until
you
it's
go
not
to trial.
Secret.
Yeah.
yeah.
And that's the only time it's not secret is when you got to stand up there on a trial.
So it's yeah. not always documented from that perspective. However, it's documented somewhere when you do a 5K1.
Yeah.
And they have what they call a statement of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really duck the statement of reasons. That's everything that happened on your case.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's a court document. It don't come anywhere but from the court. So that's one of the things that I use and other people use as what we call our license.
Yeah.
To walk the yard and things like that.
Yeah.
To be able to let people know, like, yo, because you can't duck that document. It has everything on there. So to answer your question in its totality, there are ways that people can duck it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's levels to it.
Right.
So if you're just dropping a dime,
mm-hmm.
maybe it'll never come up.
Right.
If you testify in front of a grand jury
and
someone takes a plea, it may never come up.
Mm.
Okay. So with those two things, that information is not always readily available until right. you open the case up and allow that information to be available through going to trial, through maybe freedom of information.
Yeah.
You know, that's an act. So it's, you know, to answer your question, yeah, those are the ways.
That's crazy. All right. So after everything goes down, right, you get your time and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
They put you back in your cell. What are your thoughts in that moment? And you know what time you're facing at that time? Like, you know everything that you got, right?
Well, at that time, you know, so they try to break you. So this the system, what I learned is it's a system. Mm-hmm. They actually try to break you down and to build you up how they want to.
Yeah.
So it's no different than going through maybe Navy SEAL training or the Army, right? So they put me in the worst conditions first.
Yeah.
You know,
as far as where you're located?
Yeah, in the beginning.
Yeah.
So they ostracized me in the beginning. Maybe to set the stage for the future. If you break me, then they come back and say, oh, and they see that I'm broken and they hear my phone conversations. By the way, they listen to every conversation in the county jail. So at that moment,
they're waiting to see some.
They're waiting to see if you crack. See,
like, yo, I can't take it in here.
And exactly. Then they come swoop in, but they try to, you know, so it's designed that way. You know, your harshest time is 9 times out of 10 going to be
from the
county perspective, from the beginning. You know, it's a method.
Right.
You know, and it's been used and it works.
It works. It definitely works.
You know,
So that moment, what is your train of thought? Like, you got the time, you're sitting there, you're thinking about everything in the outside. Well, like, just tell me, what's your state of mind in that point?
All right, so if anyone who's listening remembers this and remembers me in that time, the first thing I did was I asked for a book on business plans.
Yeah.
Because I said, damn, I've been meaning to put together some business plans and now I have the time to do it.
Yeah.
So my mind state at that time was just like, oh, well, I got time to work on everything I wasn't working on.
Because when I would talk to you, I'm like, why does this nigga not sound like he's doing time?
Yeah.
Like, I used to sit, like, I get off the phone with you and I'm like, what's wrong with this nigga? Like, is he, like, how does he not, I just couldn't understand how you could just be sitting there calm, cool, your regular self. I'm like, nigga, you going facing some serious time.
Well, I processed it different. You know, I like to read, so I had an opportunity now to do that. I like to get engulfed in business, so I had an opportunity to do that. So, and keep in mind, going back to the beginning, I was kind of happy that it wasn't the Green Reaper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
So, a lot of stress off
for me, I was like, oh, about time, something. Okay, is this? All right, we can work with this. There's no life sentence involved? Nope. Okay, cool.
Because every time I'd be like, I'll be home soon. I'll be home one day. Like,
yeah.
When I get home, that's all you would always say.
That's it. Because you have to keep that mindset. So for me, the mindset was, oh, all right, let's just get busy. Let's just get busy. So at that time, I was telling people about Bitcoin. I was trying to get people on the outside to learn what I knew. Yeah. Because now I got a time to actually, everything that I knew, I got to tap into. Because it was a lot in my head. I just couldn't put it all together because I had a lot going on outside.
But even when you were outside, like even in business, like me and you, we would do legal business, is what I'm talking about. So for people who don't know, like we were throwing parties together and we were just cracking it off completely, like hitting home. Like you had a spot, I was throwing parties. And then me and you, we threw a birthday party for me and center stage in the Noda. And we literally, the whole, from the beginning, the door money to the liquor money to everything was controlled by me and you.
That's right.
So we were on our way to just change up the game because we were like, you know what? Fuck the clubs. We're going to just do our own shit, do it independently. Like, and then you got locked right after that.
Yeah. So it's always been for me. I respect everyone's hustle and grind, right? But if I see an opportunity to make it better or easier, I want to be that guy. And I believe that comes from my upbringing. You know, helping people actually is part of what even got me in this situation.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Because I wanted to help. And I introduced two people.
Because you definitely used to throw alley-oops. That's why. But then in return, when you went in, I was like, I can't turn my back on them. Like, anytime you call, I'm picking up. Anytime you... It was rare that you really asked for anything. But, you know, if you call and be like, yo, Mez, I'm like, you ain't got to ask, bro. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, so, and yeah, I mean, I definitely appreciate it. At the same time, you know, we definitely was making moves that at that time people was doing it, but people was doing it in secret.
Exactly.
And you know, there were people who had the game. I respect a lot of dudes in this town that had the game, but wasn't sharing it.
That's most of them.
Yeah, they had it. I saw it, but I was like, "Oh yeah, that's what you're doing." All right, cool. So I'm gonna go ahead and I like that idea. Yeah. So what I started doing was I started going around trying to just buy real estate.
Yeah,
and just trying to. I didn't want to be. I'm gonna tell you, at some point I got cocky. I didn't like how people wasn't sharing. So I said, "Oh, if I can go buy the real estate, and then the people who own the club pay me, then I can dictate." And then when I pull up, the people who was shitting on me wasn't telling me no information. I could be like, well, I'm going to go ahead and shut this down for the night. You know, you can holler at me later.
Right.
And then when I pull up, they might be like, oh, damn, what happened?
Yeah.
So that was kind of my mindset at that time. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. Yeah. So what I tried to do was I tried to be the Robin Hood for the people in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the music industry. Yeah. If I can help, I would. I was always, you know, I didn't really see a return on that.
There's always... you always throwing alley-oops left and right.
Yeah. You know, I believe that was part of my my calling, but maybe I just didn't direct it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That could be a possibility.
Yeah.
And all right, so then another thing, when we were in contact all the time, right, while you was in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody hits me and be like, yo, I was about to call you by your old name. That's still going to fuck up, right?
Like Pone said, because at that time, if you're talking about the past, then
true. All right, if so somebody hits me and like, yo, Pone is out. I'm like, nah, that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yeah, I heard he just got out a couple of days ago. I'm like, so I just ignore it. And then my peoples tell me like, yo, I just saw it on his people's page. I'm like, that you saw him out? She was like, yeah. I'm like, I just let it go. I was like, nah, it's not, because he would hit me if he was out. Mm-hmm. There's no way he wouldn't get out. Like, I've been in contact with him the whole time. Why would he not hit me out? So then Fresh puts a picture of you on his Instagram. So I hit him like, yo, Pone is out. No, matter of fact, I hit him when I first heard, like, yo, Pone's out. He was like, yeah. Then I see he put a picture of you. I'm like, hold up. What's up? Why this nigga ain't hit me yet? Like, we've been rocking A1 this whole time. Why would he not hit me? So when you get out, right, everybody's wondering why you didn't hit him. But nobody puts themselves in your shoes, right? So I even had, because matter of fact, the first thing I did, I hit up Debo, my homeboy Debo, because he did some time. So I tell him, like, yo, my man, I used to always tell you about, because y'all got locked up around the same time, and he got out a little before you. I'm like, he got out and he ain't hit me yet. What you think about that? He was like, how long he been in? And when I told him, that nigga laughed. He was like, bro, that nigga is not thinking about his friends right now. No disrespect. But he was like, he got his family. Does he have kids? I'm like, yeah. He's like, bro, get that nigga some time. Like,
yeah.
It might sound like he should hit you up based on that, but he was like, he's got everything hitting him at one time. So speak on that.
So, all right, first and foremost, for those who don't know, and if those may decide to recap the conversation, I had 15 years.
Right.
Right?
Right.
To 10.
Exactly.
That I did, plus the 5 that I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
So with the COVID hit, and everything.
Yeah.
That allowed me, that afforded me the opportunity to get out early, but on a conditional basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so I didn't expect you to get out anytime soon. Like, so that's why I threw you off too.
So they let like 7,000 of us out. I fell in the scope. I got my blessing.
Right.
But it's conditional. So with that being said, I didn't feel like it was a release.
Yeah.
So I had to be mindful of the hype around my release because there's several restrictions around my release.
Right.
So I still owe them time. I'm still being monitored daily via ankle monitor. My son says I'm a droid, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my wife says that she doesn't like that I'm like she referenced to cattle. You know,
damn.
But that's how it feels. So you have to understand the mental anguish along with the happiness.
Yeah.
At the same time, all my feelings were brought back. Going back, I said I would touch on this. All my resentment came back at once.
When you came home?
Yes. So I had to deal with the resentment, deal with the fact that I'm being treated like cattle, but at the same time affording me an opportunity to be home.
Yeah.
So you got to be appreciative.
So it's mixed emotions.
Sad and mad all at once. So for me to project that on anyone, I just felt like it would be better that I wait, right? So people like you mentioned Fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh was pretty diligent, you know. So when he snapped the picture, because I was on my lunch break.
Yeah.
And I happened to bump into him. And then it was like, oh, psh. So now that kind of got out there, but it wasn't by design.
Right.
So,
but for my perception, that's not, it seems like y'all linked up because,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I get it. And I get how you felt and other people felt.
Yeah.
But it just, at that time, wasn't really time for me to speak to no one. I had to process what was happening.
Correct.
Because I didn't want to, like I said, project the wrong energy on anyone.
Yeah.
Because you may have got some negative energy based on what I was going through. Just maybe it wasn't geared towards you. It would just been like, yo, what's up? And I might have been like, what you mean, what's up? God damn, nigga. Da, 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 da. And then it would have been like, damn.
Yeah.
But in actuality, it wasn't. So there are people that I don't think is worthy of my conversation or communication because I've been going. I've been sitting still. And if anybody knows, everybody had a line.
Yeah.
You had a way to get in contact with me one way or another.
Right.
So if you didn't at that time, then there's no way I can now take away from the people who were there.
Exactly, yeah.
And give them the time. I value time now.
Hell yeah.
Which I did not before. So I value it to the point where I'm not going to give time to people who didn't put time into me. And I call it sacrifice. Like, if you didn't sacrifice something, because you got to, in order to be there for someone during that time, you have to sacrifice time.
Hell yeah.
For yourself. So, you know, my wife and kids beating up the road, that was sacrifice.
Yeah.
Get what I'm saying? So with that being said,
huge
I had
sacrifice.
That was a huge sacrifice of time and energy.
And that's not too many
money.
Women who do that, bro.
No, right? And this was, she never missed a visit. She, you know, there would be, it's a relationship, so there's going to be rocky times. But even during those times, she always picked up. She never missed a visit, and I respected that. So I had to reward that first. So when I first come home, if I jump out there, what you think going to happen? I might fall back into Capone.
And it's kind of disrespectful to her also.
It's very disrespectful to her.
Not
and the children.
It is disrespectful. Yes. Yeah, for sure. 100%.
You know, not to mention, because it wasn't just her, right? But she was at the center stage.
Yeah.
Because she was the main person, you know, beating up the highways, making sure that I remained a father figure to the children, making sure that I was part of decision making, making sure that I was part of disciplinary homework.
Yeah.
So that was huge. But you also have, you know, my parents played a role, not more than her parents.
Yeah.
Her parents played a pinnacle role because the level of support that they gave in comparison to other people was huge. So that was the core, you know. Then I have a sibling, you know, then I have nieces and nephews that were there. So there was family structure that was there. However, there wasn't the level of sacrifice that her family gave. So that was huge for me to come home and make sure that I engulfed myself.
Yeah. And you got to give them time.
Within the family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's why. That's to answer your question in that realm. But on the flip side, I recognize people for who they are and the fake and the phony. It's kind of like, you remember Men in Black? And when you put on the glasses, you could see the people for who they really were underneath that disguise of a human.
Right.
Right. So I get to see these demons for who they are, and it's crazy. So when you level up in life on that level, it's hard to have a conversation with someone when you're looking at them and you see that they're really a demon.
Yeah.
So I'm like, everything you're saying is pointless. It don't even make sense. I know who you are. So I didn't want to offend anyone. So therefore, because at the same time, I don't want to be phony and fake either.
Right.
So I'd rather just stay away from.
Now, but because you know, I know my boy Debo used to always say, like, we'd be 100 deep outside, right? But when he went in, it was only out of 100 people. It might have been like two or three people who really kept in touch, made sure he was straight. You know what I mean? Like kept money on his books, on the phones and everything.
Yeah.
But he was always on some shit. Like a lot of people would be in there angry, like, yo, this nigga ain't write me. This nigga ain't call me. This, I mean, not call, but you know,
yeah,
you know, that type of shit. But he always was looking at like, bro, them niggas ain't put me in here. And yeah. I don't owe them nothing. And I know how it is, out of sight, out of mind type shit.
Yep.
So do you hold any kind of resentment towards people with that?
No.
Or do you just look at it for it is what it is?
It's a process. So at first you do deal with that.
Yeah.
So eventually I took on the way Debo feels. Because he's speaking from a perspective of it being the end, and at the same time we wasn't in the same lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different, because when you're spending the majority of your time and sacrificing your time and taking away from your family and other people, you automatically assume that these people that you're spending time with,
same.
Yeah, you're gonna it's gonna be reciprocated.
Yeah.
So being that it wasn't, you deal with that. It's normal to be hurt by those people. So yeah, out of sight, out of mind. But then you got all the people who didn't carry it like that. So how can I give them an excuse? It was very difficult to deal with that, because there were people who was like, nah, nigga, I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, what you need?
Yeah.
So, but those people didn't have it in an abundance. So therefore, when it was times where, because only two times I feel like niggas should be able to ask for something. That's when they're in the hospital and when they're in jail.
Yeah.
You know, when they can't fend for themselves.
Yeah.
So people who knew my circumstances knew I was depleted of all resources, financial resources.
Mm-hmm.
I was left with one house and one car, which was for my family. They were. It was difficult for me financially, but I also made a choice not to hustle in jail. I had to figure out how to use my mind and my hands to make do financially. Without,
is that humbling?
Well, a little bit, but you have to remember that I already was doing that.
Yeah.
I was using my mind and my hands by, if you saw me in my bars, I worked.
For sure, yeah. You wasn't the guy.
I was the last one to leave and the first one there. So
a lot of times niggas is sitting in the section drinking. You wouldn't know the difference between the owner and the person partying.
Yeah. You know, or the bar back for that matter, because I was doing that as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, that I always did that. So it was a little humbling, but it was more humbling to realize that you're only an it factor in the moment that you're it.
Mm.
So that was humbling.
Yeah.
So when I was taken out of that moment, I wasn't the it factor anymore. So you don't never get out the moment in your own mind. In your mind, you're still the it factor. You're still
but to
it.
Everybody else.
But to everybody else, you're out of that line. You're out of that light. You're out of that moment.
Yeah.
So when I finally realized that, that's when I wasn't resentful anymore.
Mm.
Because I was like, oh, that just happens. That's just part of life.
Yeah.
But it felt weird at first to go from, you know, everybody. There were people who called on every year on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know what I did? I made sure their kids had Christmas. Or there was people who, you know, I went to the shelter four times a year and volunteered my time. You know, and to feel like it wasn't being reciprocated was weird. But to say the least, I got over it quickly. And there were people in my life that was like, look, nigga, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Man up, don't worry about it. Because like they both said, they didn't put me in this situation.
Right.
So, you know, manning up and looking in the mirror is probably the hardest thing to do.
Accountability.
So I had to take that accountability. And I did.
Yeah.
But once I did, I felt better. I was like, oh, that's me. I did that.
Yeah.
My bad. You know, and then I moved forward.
Yeah.
So it was cool. So all the people I hurt, I ended up calling people.
Yeah.
Writing people. You know, saying sorry.
Yeah.
Or just apologizing. Because I'm not sorry. Just I apologize for whatever I did at the time that I wasn't conscious of what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there relieves me of any pain, because I had to make myself accountable for everything I've done wrong.
Yeah.
So that's how I kind of got through it as far as that pain aspect. And some people, I brought more pain because there were some people who were like, oh, nigga, you just make up with me. It's just not even, you know, I'm like, yeah, I made up with you, you know, to make up with you, not to be your friend again.
Yeah.
You know, but just to say, yo.
Closure type shit too.
Also yeah, sometimes. At the same time. Yeah. If I done you wrong, my bad. And not on no street shit, because in the street, if anybody know, yeah. If I brought it to you, that means you had you to bring at, it yeah. to me yeah. at some point.
Yeah.
You know, there were people who brought all type of ill will to me.
Yeah.
Try to do it on the low, and I just don't say nothing because I'm a chess player.
Yeah.
But then later, you know, your dunk is missing or,
yeah.
you know, I'm sorry because that happened to people, but yeah. or something was on.
The views and opinions you hear are totally of the guest, not Mez Drinks and Chill.
Oh, you know, if you know things like that. So, resentment is not something. I don't harbor any resentment for no one.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has a life to live. So if you know, if I needed $50 to go to commissary, and
yeah.
I saw you bought a $700 bottle, and then you told me that,
yeah,
you
see,
know you wasn't
that was my next
great.
Question.
All right, at the time I was like, really, but now I'm like, oh, okay,
you don't owe me that.
You don't owe me that.
Yeah,
that's right. Your money. You know what I'm saying? You yeah. didn't have to go to that Western Union. That was your money.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that.
But see, I'm the opposite. Like I look at it like even from the like being free. I'm like, yo, you know what? Instead of buying a fucking bottle, I could have just threw him some bread. Like, because I had, and one thing, like, for niggas would get locked up for, Debo was in the county for years, right? Because he took his shit to trial, right? A bunch of my homies would get locked up and just call my phone. Like, I knew you had money on your phone. Because the whole time he was in there, I kept money on my phone. Like, and you don't even think about it, just nonstop money. Because I'm like, nigga, I could sit there and gamble. I could sit there and buy drinks at the bar. I could buy a joint, but my man is in jail.
Yeah.
I'm definitely keeping, if I don't do nothing else, that nigga call my phone. He'll call, you know, that shit was like a 15-minute call. As soon as he's like, yo, can I call you right back? I'm like, yeah, nigga, call right back. Just to keep his mind off of that shit.
Yeah, that helps. That part helps.
Yeah.
And one thing Meek Mill said, he said, you know, and this, don't quote me on this, but he mentioned in his song, like, you don't be mad when
yeah.
you get locked up and the nigga's not there because
yeah.
at the time that you was out,
yeah.
you should have been sowing better seeds.
Yeah.
You know, so the money I was blowing,
yeah.
I could have been sowing better seeds.
Yeah.
So I had to wear that.
Yeah.
Cause I blew some paper. You know what yeah. I'm saying? You know, it was like 70 on just a bulletproof of a whip.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, so the paper was being blown.
Yeah.
But known to nobody. Nobody knew.
Yeah.
Nobody really knew too much. I mean, there were people who knew, like Fresh knows some things. He throws some things up sometimes.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, I forgot about that. But, you know, safety first.
Yeah.
So, you know, just putting steel doors on houses costs money.
Hell yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, the city don't want you to do that. But
yeah.
things like that, just barricading your crib is money. And so yeah. little things like that.
You but know. That's the smart things to do. Instead yeah. of buying a $100,000 chain.
Yeah, which I've only owned a couple of chains in my life. And then when I buy them, I go take them back or I sell them or I pawn them because I don't want them.
But it's after you.
Yeah.
You know
I'd be like, oh, I want to do that because they're talking about diamonds in my damn chain. So I go buy two.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this was the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, because when I buy something for me, that means the kids have to get something.
Yeah.
That means my old lady have to get something.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's stand-up shit.
Yeah. So I don't come home with
just
one bag.
You from day one because I'm like, this nigga, everything he do is on some stand-up shit.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, we learn. We live and we learn.
So how was it getting adjusted back? Oh, matter of fact, before we even get to that, because, well, yeah, we could speak on that. And there's some shit going on because of your release. Isn't there some shit where they're trying to, if COVID is over, they can try to make you finish back your time or some shit going on?
Yeah, so this is the thing, right? And I wanted to, this is one of the major reasons why I wanted to even speak on this. People are under the assumption that they just let us out.
Yeah.
Right? So most of us so you had what they call compassionate release,
mm-hmm.
right? So some people went for that, which I didn't get approved for that because the district attorney was like, well, Nigga, I want you to, I stuck it to you because I wanted to stick it to you. So yeah. I'm not getting ready
Why
to prove
that. Would I be compassionate?
Yeah. But the judge was like, well, if he say yeah, then it's cool. So they said, well, you can get out on the COVID, on the CARES Act, which says that we'll let you out during COVID.
Yeah.
To put you in a better and safer environment.
Mm-hmm.
But we reserve the right to bring you back a month after we feel like COVID is over with, or the country says that it's over with. So they reserve that right. So it's like, at the same time, while we don't think it's going to happen, and you know, it still looms, you know.
So how do you sleep at night knowing that? Like, if it's a possibility, because to me, it's like, it's bittersweet. Like, you can't enjoy it, but so much. But then again, you are still out for a short time. If God forbid, they make you come back, right?
Yeah, so real quick, shout out to Kevin over at FAMM, FAMM.org. So they're fighting really hard. FAMM is fighting really hard to make sure that they bring transparency to this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be other groups.
Yeah.
FAMM is just fighting the hardest from what I see.
Yeah.
And they are letting us know that they have no intention on bringing us back, but the right is still reserved. So it's up to the president to say, hey, we're going to take that off the table and just y'all do what y'all do, stay out of trouble, y'all be good. So it's still hard to move forward every day knowing that this looms over my head.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't get too engulfed in what's going on. I try to stay focused, and that way I can lay down a foundation just in case that happens.
Yeah. So how do you adjust to being back out? Like, because I know a lot of times homies come home from prison, jail, or anything, and they're like, it feels weird to be out, just to be able to move around, like to see the free world. Like, how do you adjust to that?
I don't, for me, one day at a time. Like, it's little things. It's like, it's just little things that you'd be like, you know, wow. But like I said, I'm a free spirit. So I just kind of just go with the flow.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't really bother me. You know, I think interaction with people is probably one of the hardest things to adjust to, or, you know, calling every 4 hours to the halfway house.
Yeah.
You know, the curfews and not being able to do certain things at the same time, that's probably also keeping me focused.
Yeah.
So it's like I try to look at the bright side, not the downside. And as far as my adjustment, I work so much and I just work and sleep and that's it. So I don't really have time to even process anything, because everything I'm doing is to build a foundation for the future. So to answer your question, I don't even know if I adjusted yet.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been exposed to what's going on out there for real. Not to mention it's COVID, where it's kind of quiet.
So it kind of helps too.
Yeah. You know, like when they lifted the restrictions, I saw more cars than I seen in the 8 to 9 weeks I've been home.
Yeah.
Because now everybody's out. You know,
right?
When I'm leaving coming in from work, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm now seeing more people, so I'm seeing more things as every day that goes by. So that's why it's important. I just take it day by day.
Now, people always glorify, like, yeah, I did time, I did this, but what are some of your dark times in there? Like, what are some of the things that bothered you while you were in there? Like, just dark times where you're like, damn, like,
well, for me, the darkest times, of course, it goes without saying, your time away from your family and your loved ones, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to all the family and loved ones. But for me, right, I've never been able to deal with how the law treats people once you're in that situation. Some of them.
Yeah.
Right? So I think for me, the darkest times was when I've encountered racist COs.
Yeah.
And when I say racist, I'm not saying, like, I'm just not throwing it out there. I'm talking about, like, racist and they say they're racist.
Right.
Then you have
bias,
you know? So then you got the ones that just hate you because you're an inmate. And then you have ones that just feel like they should only treat you like this because you're incarcerated. Then you know. And that goes for black and white.
Yeah.
So you could be racist against me and be white, and then you could be biased against me and be black.
Yeah.
But you still treat me because you're following. You're feeling like, oh, you have to treat me this way. So that was the biggest. So I was a fighter.
Yeah.
I was like a freedom fighter. Like, I'm always fighting the system in that moment to try to fight for our equality and our justice.
Yeah.
So for me, those were the hardest things because you can only fight for so much, because then they'll just be like, oh, okay, we'll snatch you up and we'll throw you in the hole.
Yeah.
So while I had everything going great for me, I still didn't. To put my tail between my legs was so difficult for me. That was the hardest part ever, because I'm not the tail between the leg type dude.
Facts, yeah. So
that was the hardest part, is allowing them to treat me like that. So what I would tell them was, I'm a man first. So I address everybody, but I respected them. I respected everyone.
Because respect is everything in there, right?
It's everything, you know, definitely everything. So those are the darkest moments. Living with so many people, I went from living with...
Because you were in a couple of different...
I went to about six different joints.
You were in a Supermax at one point?
So no, I never went to an actual Supermax, not to be housed there.
Okay.
I've done work around different prisons. You know, my skills, my welding skills got me to work. And I've visited several prisons outside of living there. However, I've been to prisons that had 2,500 people. I've been to prisons that had 100 people. So with that being said, I learned how to live amongst people at the most and at the least. So the respect, it's like people can't live in one house six deep. So imagine living in one room, 12 deep. See what I'm saying? So like, and that's just one room. And when you got 10 rooms and three floors, think about how it was sharing one bathroom with eight stalls. You have to understand how that, not sharing one bathroom with eight stalls for the 12 people, sharing bathrooms with eight stalls for the 12 people per room in 10 different rooms.
Damn, that makes it even worse, yeah.
So you learn how to adapt and adjust and just, you know, people got things on their mind. So when you disrespect someone, the level of disrespect is different.
Because
so
it's not just what you did. Off. It's just everything that they've been waiting to unleash.
Exactly. Hey. So you have to be careful of that. And, I pretty much understand it's the same code of the streets. Just respect everybody, man.
Yeah. Because respect goes a long way with that.
Respect goes a long way.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so...
That's crazy, man. Anything else you want to touch on?
Nah, man. You know, I do want to say that when it comes to this, like, the Stop Snitching campaigns and things like that, right?
Yeah.
I want to tell people, make yourself knowledgeable about what you're getting into. You can't put a Stop Snitching campaign on such a... mega train that's already...
It works.
Yeah. It's already going out of... It's already moving. You can't stop a train once it's already moving.
Yeah.
You know, so what you can do is make people knowledgeable and get people to understand that if you don't... When you get in a predicament and you know what you're facing, there's no reason to tell.
Right.
That's bigger to me. There's just no reason because you're already in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, it's very seldom... So, like, if you go in facing 5 years and you start telling, what you do is you also tell on yourself. So, your charge is Trump.
Right.
Right? So, it's big to me for me to tell people, yo, just if you're facing it, just do it.
Yeah.
And then try to navigate it and be smart about it. But what they, when they say, what they say when... This would be used against you, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. Anything you say will be used against you in the court of law.
Okay, so
you have
that's
the right to remain silent.
That's definite. Just be quiet.
Yeah.
It's nothing to really talk about. They came
the
with
Miranda
an indictment.
Rights. It's called the Miranda rights, if I'm not mistaken.
So they came with something saying that, okay, we deem you guilty enough to grab you. So now you have to fight for your freedom.
Yeah.
So if you choose to go to trial, go to trial.
Yeah.
But if you start talking your way, you can't talk your way out of it.
Because you're there for a reason.
Period. Yeah. So that's the biggest thing. I think if you just make people understand that part. They don't have to tell. Telling is their crutch. That is their crutch to get us in that predicament.
Right.
So we can blame. We're in the web. Remember, you go in the web. You're stuck in the web like, damn, I'm in this web. But once you're there, you're there. Yeah. Now you got to figure out how to get off that web, things like that. But so I'm not blaming, you know, the snitches, because
it's part of the game.
It's part of the game. It's like we decided to take that turn. Yeah. But then once you take that turn, whatever happens to you down that road, it's on you. You get a flat tire, you know, you get bit by a snake. It's all because you went down that road.
Exactly.
So if you just, so once you're down that road, though, I'm just saying, hey, you can navigate it a little better by making yourself knowledgeable on what's to come down that road.
Let me ask you a question, right? From your point of view, right? Let's just say you have a friend, right? And they're not a street nigga. They don't abide by any of the street laws, right? So this is somebody you know. Every day you speak to them, you cool with them or whatever. They're driving, right? And then they give a friend a ride, right? And their friend is a street nigga. And they get pulled over, right? They both get locked up. And when they get locked up, the street nigga don't say nothing. Like, let's just say there's some work in the car and a gun. They lock both of them up. And then, you know, when they get them in the room, the nigga who's not a street nigga tells, like, yo, that's his shit, that's whatever. He tells, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you view that man? And he's just a civilian.
So the way I've always viewed civilians is that they're civilians.
Yeah.
So they're not deemed for the code because they're civilians. Now...
So you have a total understanding of how this shit goes.
I do. Because if we live in a neighborhood, right, and something happens and the lady live next door tells on me because I did something, she's protecting her neighborhood, her family, her friends, whatever.
It was your job not to get caught, right?
It was my job to move a certain way.
Yeah.
Now, if what happens is the street nigga, because, you know, a lot of people are going to hate this comment, but what happens is the street nigga is not qualified to be a street nigga mentally.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So here it is that
he's looking for.
I'm not going to allow you to get in my whip if you're not a street nigga. So if I'm doing certain shit, I would tell people quick, like, nah, I'm going to holler at you later.
Right.
I never pull nobody in my bullshit. You feel me? Yeah. So if you're not that dude, I'm going to catch up to you later.
Yeah.
So I keep my street shit in the streets and I keep my legit shit, legit, and things of that nature.
But even you, like, let's just say you're the street nigga, right, who got in the car with the nigga who's not a street nigga. Knowing you, when y'all get pulled over, you can be like, this is my shit. Like,
that's
got nothing to do with it. But that's the thing. Like, it's this thing that these niggas be wanting a certain loyalty out of somebody who's not a street nigga. Like, you, knowing you, I know you'd be like, he ain't got nothing to do with that. Like, you wouldn't even put that nigga who's a 9-to-5 going to work, you're not even going to put him in that position to be put in jail or get locked up or some shit like that. You know what I mean?
That's right. It's my job to protect that person in that moment. However, a lot of people see it like, well, shit, I could tell him it's his.
Yeah.
You know, but now y'all both just got to fight for it. And that happens often. Like, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something
all the time,
that. Yeah. So while I understand, I just would move different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to slight no one who don't move like me.
Right.
That's their choice.
Yeah.
I just recommend that, you know, I recommend that the dudes who not street dudes stop fucking with street dudes.
Facts.
Period.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's number one. Number two, if the street niggas, if y'all doing street shit,
don't
keep that shit away from dudes who not in the street.
That's 1A and 1B. That they both in the same thing. They run parallel. Like, street niggas, stop fucking with niggas who ain't street niggas.
Yeah.
And if you're not street, don't fuck around with street niggas.
That's it. So it kind of like, if you put yourself in a sticky predicament, back to the web.
Right.
You're in the web now.
Yeah.
You got in the car. Now you got to deal with what comes with it. So don't expect the street nigga to be like, oh, it's mine. Because if you wasn't in the car, he was going to run. He was going to give him a chase. Whatever he was going to do, he going to try to get it up off him. So if he can't, oh, the first thing he gonna say is, oh, that ain't mine.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Yeah.
You know, shit. My son got busted doing something in school, and I said, you know they got you on camera, right? He said, man, they had to be doing some camera tricks, because that wasn't me.
Mm.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So And those who know that story know that story. Like, I was like, nigga, that's real.
Yeah.
You know? So that's like self-preservation automatically. That's innate.
Yeah, for sure.
So
fight or flight.
That's it. So I'm not mad at the people who do it.
Yeah.
I just say that, hey, stop merging it, fellas. Stop being, the street shit is cool, it look good, but when you facing that time, see, I seen that too.
Yeah.
I seen a bunch of those dudes.
Because it's not a lot of niggas who stand up niggas.
Nah, I mean, it wouldn't be, you have to understand, right? Again, I'm not taking nothing away from anyone.
Yeah.
The snitch rate is somewhere around 89%.
That's what I was going to ask you. If you have 10 people who get locked up, how many people do you think snitching?
8. So how do you...
Shit, at 89%, that's 9%. I mean, that's 9%.
Yeah, that's 8
really.
And some change. That's 8 and somebody who thinking about it who might not, who may a little bit. That's that. Feel me? So, you know, if you already know that, which I knew that, but I was like, if I'm moving a certain way, then maybe. But I wasn't prepared at that time for the big boys. The information is key. And they can book you off of information. So you can't really run from that if you ever in that realm. Everybody's not going to make it to the Fed realm. They're going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know, some people never going to get locked up for what they do. Great. However, it's inevitable that once you go down that road, there's all these things you open up to.
Hell yeah.
You know, and telling is part of it because that's how the Feds do their job. Let me tell y'all something. There's 600,000 plus law enforcement in the United States.
Not shit compared to how many people are doing crime.
And that's not shit compared to how many people are in the United States.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So if you only got 600,000 plus law enforcement combined.
They can't possibly be doing all the policing.
Period. So that's why they always tell people, you know, police your neighborhoods, self-police.
Yeah.
So that's why I can't be mad at the civilian because we'll have anarchy. We'll have a crazy, it'd be crazy, but I want to raise my kids the right way. So why would I want that? So it's a balance.
Right.
You know, so just have balance, man.
Yeah. Now, one thing is we're going to close it out on this, man. I appreciate you pulling up, man. Crazy things. I wanted to have a prison jail episode for a while. There's been a couple of people that I wanted on there, but something would always not work out when they were supposed to come. And then the crazy thing is you popped up and got out. So I was like, there's no better person who I would rather have for this episode. Just any episode, period, but this episode in particular, because I know you really, you know, you held your ground, you did it on a stand-up way, and you really know what the hell you're talking about.
And next time, it's going to be about how to make it after prison. We have to do one like
for
that.
For sure.
We have to do business, because people are under the assumption that it's all bad. It's not as hard. If people see me, they see, and I didn't start with no, I didn't have nothing.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? I leveraged my credit, my business credit. I got all that started. Remember when I went in?
Yeah.
Yeah, back to that.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Oh, okay, give me that. Yeah. So that 8 years, 7 years go by and, you know, whatever's on there is coming off. And, you know, you end up learning, hey, you know, I had to figure out what I was going to do if wasn't nobody there. Nobody, like if I had to go get released to a shelter,
right?
That's how my mind worked. So if you look at it that way and you go into it that way, you'll realize there's so much more. There's so many programs. There's so many avenues to help. Because keep in mind, there's many people trying to keep us in and put us in.
Yeah.
There's just as many people trying to get you out and help you when you get out.
Yeah.
But if you're too cocky, or if you're too arrogant, or if you're not humble enough, then you won't accept that. Me?
Yeah.
That went out the window. That went with Capone. So now I'm like, oh, yeah, help me. Oh, you want to help? Okay, cool. And I reciprocated, but right now I need help.
Yeah. You know, the crazy thing you say that is, I won't say his name on here. I'll tell you who it is because I know you know him from. So when we used to be out, it was a nigga who was just, he was doing his thing out here in the streets, right? He got locked up, but I guess when he got out, I guess he was working, he had to get a job. I don't know if it's because of parole or whatever, right? So he was one of the dudes, like when you see construction and they hold the street signs that say stop, slow, and then they... So I pull up, I just happen to be the first car and he's holding it. So we make eye contact, he turned his head and tried to hide himself. And in my head, I'm like, bro, like, I'm not going to judge you because of a job. Like,
yeah.
But some people be really embarrassed to go right back to square one. And bro, I saw in his face, like, yo, he was so embarrassed that he saw me and I saw him. But in my head, I wanted to get out and be like, yo, bro, I don't care. Like, you're doing the right thing. Like, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing.
Facts.
But people, there's like this, like, embarrassment, or like they feel like they're too, or, you know, sometimes people live up to this hype to where they feel like they can't be knocked back down. But sometimes that happens in life.
It does. And that's what you have to, you know, be mindful of. You have to understand, like, humble yourself.
Yeah.
But so much opens up.
Yeah.
Because I don't, listen, man. That's like rule number one. Be humble.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Everything else, and not, see, people think being humble is just not, is not speaking their mind. Yeah. Nah, you got to really be humble in your heart. Like, yeah. You got to really feel it. Like, you know, it doesn't really matter. Like, I look at the people who are humble.
Mm-hmm.
I look at all they get. You know, Bill Gates is humble.
Yeah.
Warren Buffett is humble.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So if they lost everything, you know, today, it wouldn't matter to them.
It wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter, yeah.
You know, and a lot of people may, you know, may feel otherwise, but they appear humble.
Yeah.
Let's say that. And I know people who have had encounters with them based on interviews, and they was like, oh, yeah, they what you think they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if you know the show Billions, one of my favorite shows,
mm-hmm.
on Showtime. Is that Showtime? Yeah, I believe it's Showtime. But Axelrod is not humble. But Axelrod end up going through a lot by not being humble.
Yeah.
You know, so you have the people who are humble that you realize that the quality of life is so much better when you can just appreciate just life.
Yeah.
And not really be embarrassed about your life. I'm not embarrassed about what I drive. I'm not embarrassed about what I wear.
Yeah.
I'm not embarrassed about how I look. Yeah. I'm not embarrassed anymore. So before, it was all about covering those things up,
mm-hmm.
covering my insecurities up with all the limelight. So if you put all the glitter in front of me, then you couldn't see what was behind it.
Yeah.
So that wasn't me being humble. Now I'm leading with my insecurities. So I'm leading with, you know, humility, which sometimes can lead to prosperity just by being humble.
For sure. I remember we're going to close it off with when Meek dropped Championships. And I remember you hitting me up and be like, yo, bro, I got to get this album.
Yes.
Like, so is that cool to talk about, you being able to listen to? Like, how?
Oh, yeah. So we have MP3s, and you can download the music on the MP3.
Yeah.
So it costs money. So it was humbling for me. Sometimes I call you, I call Fresh. I'd be like, yo, I need $20.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't have the money to allot to phone calls and other things, and maybe, you know, helping the fam out with the $300-$400 it costs to come see me.
Hell yeah.
So I needed to get that album right there. I needed it.
And I was like, yo, I'm so glad you want to listen to it, because there's this one song I definitely need you to listen to. The album's called Championships, but I was like, you got to listen to the song called Championships.
Official.
And we would just, like, after you downloaded whatever, you would call and we would talk about the album. So every time I hear this shit, it just reminds me of them times. You know what I'm saying? So even when you got out, when I put up the picture of you, the caption was Alexa, play Championships by Meek Mill, because we used to talk about it all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, that's official. I didn't get to see it. I'm not on social media.
Right.
But yeah, that was official. That's another thing. I felt like social media would have clouded my judgment, and it would have also made me a little more angry.
But my DMs went crazy, you know, when I put up the video. Yo, he's home. Send me his number. I'm like, yo, I don't have his number. But people knew I was lying. But there's I'm like, yo, I'll let him know that you want to get in contact with him. But, you know, but I also didn't tell you about most of them, because I know a lot of times you just want to be with the fam. You want to chill. So I wanted to give you your space too. And I figured if you want to be in contact with somebody, you'll get in contact with him.
Period. If you wasn't there.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, but you know,
keep
the same energy, man.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you'll read about me, and when I'm doing some philanthropy work, and if someone needs some help, I'll be there regardless of if you was there for me or not.
Right.
But that's during my philanthropy times. Right now I'm on my come up, so we'll talk about that later.
That's a fact. And for now, we're going to leave out of here with the song Championships by Meek Mill. Welcome home, my nigga. I appreciate you.
All right, good looking.
For sure.
Perch down. yards in them, and that's your first down. And I ain't currently to preach. I just had to say something, cause I'm the one with the reach. Youngin' got a quarter ounce, he tryin' to turn into Meech. Ain't had no daddies, had to learn from the streets. I used to be an honor roll student, damn, then I turned to a beast. The first time I seen a nigga get some blood on his sneaks. He had on Air Max 93s, but was slumped in the street. His mama crying at this son to me, oh Lord. This shit I'm doing for my hood, I won't get a award. I used to sell Reggie, then how I get to the Forbes. I take a shot, if I miss, I'm getting them balls. Ain't quitting no more, like give me some more. We went Old Navy, it feel like Christian Dior. Was dead broke, but rich as soul. Was we really that poor? Was we really that dumb? Cause we carry a gun. And every nigga in my neighborhood carrying one. Cause we had nightmares of our mamas, got buried a son. I'm speaking to you as a prophet, as rare as they come. Gunshots sound like music hanging out the Buick. Why you wanna be a shooter? Mama told me not to do it, but I did it. Now I'm locked up in a prison, calling mama like I shouldn't have did it. Watch my dream shatter in the instant. I'm on a visit, posing for the picture. Like I'm going for my prime or something. Like I ain't facing time or something. Riding for these niggas like that shit ain't hurt my mom or something. Only one gon' give me commissary, even buy me something when it all fall down. I can't call y'all now, even if I hit your phone. That won't get me home. So many different times these niggas did me wrong. Shit, that's the reason that I did this song. Shit, we was kids, used to play on the step. A couple years later, we playing with the angel of death. I was 11 years old, I got my hands on the tech. When I first touched it, that shit gave me a rush. My homies dying, I'm like, maybe we next. That just made me a threat. Knowing that niggas smoked my daddy, it just made me upset. Made me a man, shit, I was fine when God gave me my test. Go to court with a court appointed, he won't say he object. You against the state and you ain't got no cake. Jail overpopulated, they ain't got no space. I know a youngin' that got murk ain't get to dry no rape. But he in the hearse on the way to church. I know his mom going fake. When she smell like bomb fluid cologne all on her baby. Pastor said he's sending you home, she going crazy. When they drop that casket all in the ground, who going to save me? How could you blame me when I'm trying to stay alive and just survive and be demise? When niggas die by 25, when I stop fearing for my life, when I decide to change my mind. Try to smoke the pain away, they lock us up for smoking. Put them on probation, lock them up, it's being perfect. Victim to the system like a raindrop in the ocean. They closing all the schools and all the prisons getting open. Yeah. See, coming from where I come from, we had to beat the streets. Beat the system, beat racism, beat poverty. And now we made it through all that, we had the championship.